You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Angels Laugh, The Devils Weep. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Saturday evening in March. Leonard Kopp is a merchant who occasionally delivers fish to the convent in Torgau, Germany. On this particular evening, the 31st, it's not what he unloads at the convent that is as important as what he takes away from the convent on his wagon. The year is 1523, and it's 5.5 years since a Reformation broke out in Europe. Some priests and nuns, influenced by the new religious teachings, have been leaving their orders. And this night, Mr. Kopp is helping 12 nuns escape from the convent in Torgau. 9 of those nuns ended up in Wittenberg, the center of the new teachings. Some of the leaders in that town helped find permanent positions for the nuns. That happened easily for 8 of the 9, but the 9th, she was more difficult to place. For 2 years, she did domestic work. A well-to-do young man from Nuremberg was picked to be her husband, but he went off and married someone else. Another prospective bridegroom was found, a Dr. Glatz. But the woman said, no, not him. There was, however, an older man, 37 years old, who had caught her eye. In time she married this man, 16 years older than she was. Yes, on June 13th, 1525, Catherine von Bora married Dr. Martin Luther. Luther, the man whose 95 theses had initiated the Reformation, first thought it was a joke when someone suggested that he should marry Katie, or anyone for that matter. He eventually warmed up to the idea, but he had a lot to learn. He said, there's a lot to get used to in the first year of marriage. One wakes up in the morning and finds a pair of pigtails on the pillow which were not there before. But Martin came to praise marriage and to love his Katie. Just as the Reformer learned a lot about practical Christian living in marriage and family, so can you and I. Psalm 128 is a good guide. Listen. Blessed are all who fear the Lord and live His way. You will certainly eat what your own hands have provided. Blessings to you. May things go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine inside your home. Your children will be like young olive trees around your table. This is how the Lord will bless the person who fears Him. May the Lord bless you from Zion, so that you may see Jerusalem prospering all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Let there be peace in Israel. Again, that is Psalm 128. The first verse says, blessed are all who fear the Lord and live in His way. In my ministry, people have told me that they don't like this talk about fearing the Lord. They say God is a God of love, not fear. Through the years of their lives, Katie and Martin learned to understand what the fear of the Lord really means. Katie was born on January 29, 1499, in Lippendorf, Germany. 1999, therefore, marks the 500th anniversary of her birth. In 1505, she was received into the cloister in Breina. Interestingly, that was the same year that her future husband entered the monastery in Erfurt. In 1509, Catherine next entered the cloister Marienthron in the little town of Nimschen, and on October 8, 1515, she became a nun. Many people in those days entered convents and monasteries to calm their fear of the Lord. Back then, the common people were often taught to have a shivering, quaking fear of God. Jesus was pictured as a stern judge who was ready and eager to cast the unworthy into hell. The way to escape that destiny, many people imagined, was to enter a religious order, to become a monk or a nun. I don't know if Katie looked at God that way and entered the convent out of fear, but Martin certainly did. He became a monk and then a priest because he hoped to make peace with the God whom he feared. However, the phrase fear of God came to mean something different to both Martin and Katie. Yes, God is stern and strict, and Jesus Christ will one day come in judgment of all sinners. People today might want to ignore that teaching of the Bible, but it won't go away. But to his joy, and ours too, Luther discovered in the Bible that God does not delight in the death of the sinner, but wants sinners to have eternal life. The Reformer was led by the Spirit of God to see that Jesus Christ is the one through whom God gives forgiveness for all sins and opens the way to eternal life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, says Psalm 111, verse 12. And 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24 teaches that the wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. That's what it means to fear the Lord, to live your life before the holy God with faith in the Savior Jesus Christ. That was the foundation of the home that Katie and Martin established. And in that home, Katie had her hands full. Psalm 128 verse 2 says, "You will certainly eat what your own hands have provided. Blessings to you. May things go well for you." The Luthers ate what their hands had provided. Martin took care of the garden. I'm sure Katie had to step in. She also took care of the orchard. She caught and cleaned fish from a nearby pond. She took care of the barnyard animals and actually did the slaughtering herself. Yes, she had her hands full. By the way, most of the information I'm sharing with you comes from the classic biography of Martin Luther, written by historian Roland Bainton of Yale University. It's called Here I Stand, and it's worth reading and rereading. Katie often had her hands full of other common family problems. There were the bills. Martin was naive when it came to money. He once said, "I do not worry about debts, because when Katie pays one, another comes." They took in student boarders to help pay some of those bills. More work for Katie. And Martin routinely invited guests into their home. Of course, he didn't ask her about that. We men haven't changed much through the centuries. And he was often sick, requiring her attention and care. Oh, yes, Katie had her hands full. But isn't it comforting for you to hear that? That's the way life is for us, too, full of problems. But it's in those troublesome situations of daily life that the blessings of God are most truly appreciated. St. Paul was Luther's favorite biblical author because he laid out so clearly the message of salvation by grace through faith. God, through St. Paul, says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Yes, Katie had her hands full, and so do you. But that's where the blessings come. Oh, blessed the house, whate'er befall, where Jesus Christ is all in all. Psalm 128, verse 3, describes another aspect of Katie and Martin's home. "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine inside your home. Your children will be like young olive trees around your table." Katie bore 6 children to Martin, sons John, Martin, and Paul, and daughters Elizabeth, Magdalena, and Margareta. Martin became a lawyer, and Paul became a doctor. You know that with a blessing of children can also come sadness. Daughter Elizabeth died at about 1 year of age, and Magdalena died when she was 14. When such heartbreak comes, what a refuge it is for parents to know that the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty. What comfort comes to grieving parents to know that the risen Christ not only gives abundant life here and now, when our hands are full of problems, but He who lives also gives unending life in heaven to His followers. And what healing is available to parents' broken hearts when they look back and know that, yes, they did teach their young children to know Jesus by faith. And they did not, as so many foolish people do, let the children grow up without Jesus. Parents who do not raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord are guilty of spiritual dereliction of duty, for which they will give an answer when the judge comes. Roland Bainton tells that when Magdalena was dying, Martin prayed, "Oh God, I love her so, but Thy will be done." Then he asked his daughter, "Dear Magdalena, my little girl, you would like to stay with your father here, and you would be glad to go to your father in heaven?" She said, "Yes, dear father, as God wills." And now let me quote directly from Bainton's biography, "Here I Stand." Luther reproached himself because God had blessed him as no bishop had been blessed in 1,000 years, and yet he could not find it in his heart to give God thanks. Katie stood off, overcome by grief, and Luther held the child in his arms as she passed on. When she was laid away, he said, "You dear little Lena, you will rise and shine like the stars and the sun. How strange it is to know that she is at peace and all is well, and yet to be so sorrowful." Katie and Martin were blessed. As the story of Magdalena testifies, it was not always easy. You know that even on the normal days, marriage can be tough. "Good God, what a lot of trouble there is in marriage," he once said. "Adam has made a mess of our nature. Think of all the squabbles Adam and Eve must have had in the course of their years. Eve would say, 'You ate the apple,' and Adam would retort, 'You gave it to me.'" One time at supper, he was regaling the guests with his theological insights, of which Katie had had enough. "Doctor," she said, she always called him doctor, "why don't you stop talking and eat?" He shot back, "I wish that women would repeat the Lord's Prayer before opening their mouths." I don't know what happened next. Roland Bainton didn't print that. Obviously, Martin and Katie were sinners just like the rest of us. That's why they so treasured the forgiveness of sins. That's why they feared the Lord. And in that, they were so, so blessed. Katie Luther died on December 20th, 1552. She was 53 years old. Her husband, Martin Luther, had died 6 years earlier. Katie was buried in St. Mary's Church in Torgau. You can still visit her grave today. Luther had, as I said, first thought it a joke that he should marry. But as he thought about it, he realized that marriage and family is a place to confess your faith. You need not retreat from the facts of the world to be a true Christian. In fact, involvement in the day-to-day things of life is the best place to demonstrate the faith, the hope, and the love that are ours in Christ Jesus. With that truth in mind, Luther wrote to a friend and said, "You must come to my wedding. I have made the angels laugh and the devils weep." May your marriage and family life do the same. Live in the true fear of God. Place the hopes of your heart in Jesus Christ your Savior. Keep your hands full by serving one another in the small things of daily life, and you will be blessed. As the 128th Psalm concludes, "May the Lord bless you from Zion, so that you may see Jerusalem prospering all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Let there be peace in Israel." Yes, May the angels laugh and the devils weep. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.